podcast is intended to provide general health and nutrition advice and is not meant as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment of any kind. You are now listening to Wellness Unfiltered with Kelly Bugger and Emily Zwilling. As being both trainers and holistic health coaches, Kelly and Emily aim to inform, inspire, and incite change regarding health and fitness by sharing their experience and knowledge open and honestly. Here they are, Kelly and Emily.
Emily, it's Monday.
It is Monday.
How are you?
To be honest, I'm drowning today.
Yeah. Do you want to tell our listeners why, or do you just want to leave it at that?
No, I'm fine. It's nothing serious. It's just, it's one of those days where I am like super busy. Like it's just like so back and forth. Like last night, last minute, the cleaning crew couldn't come in to clean our gym. So right as I'm getting ready for bed, because I'm exhausted, around 8, I had to go back to the gym, clean the gym. And then only I had to be back there. I taught the 6 a.m. I taught the 11. I have clients in between. Then I have this podcast and I have clients at night. And I was supposed to, when I left the gym today at 11, to go to my office for us to podcast. And then I was going to do all my clients from the office. And then I have someone redoing the baby room because it needs to be done. And I'm not a professional. I'm not creative. I'm happy to help and like point out what I want done. But me physically in there doing that just isn't happening. And one of my clients just happens to be on the side. Yeah. Oh, does all that stuff. So she's literally painting the room, doing everything.
Oh, Nia, that's so exciting.
Yeah. And she walked in the house, which Baxter and Bella have met her before. And Baxter wouldn't let her in the house. He was like growling and wouldn't let her through the house. And this has actually been happening recently, even with walking the dogs. My dogs are really protective of me now.
I was going to say, they know what's up.
Yeah.
So which is great, but also not so great.
So then I had to run home, let her in the house, and now we're working from home. And I got the dogs all in the room. I got Bella down here. Yeah, he literally was not letting her in the house. And he's the biggest baby. I've never seen him like that, but she was like, and she's met him before. She's like, I legitimately knew he was upset and I didn't want it to progress. So she literally waited outside my house so that she could get in to work on the room.
What is the theme of the room?
So the color is going to be, I copied off of you, Kelly, and it's going to be like a forest green.
Yeah.
And then I think your color was what, arugula?
Yes, it was actually. Good memory.
So I like that color. And then we're going to do like trees and birds kind of nature theme.
Yay. Yeah. It's going to be so chill. Jacob and I are considering having another one, or we would like to have another one. And I'm like, if we end up having a girl, it can easily be like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like we wouldn't have to like completely redo everything. It can just basically stay the same, but add like a little bit of flair, girl flair, if we end up having a girl.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Be neat. You inspired me with that color. It's so,
I feel like,
good.
It's on Etsy, and I feel like that color scheme is kind of in right now. But I've always like been a fan of nature, so that was kind of what I wanted anyway. And I just kind of went with that. But yeah, so cute. I can't wait to see the pictures. Yeah.
So like part of me is just like, okay, this is the life that, you know, I have. And then thinking like I'm going to have to change things once we have a baby. So now I'm having that moment. Just today, which tomorrow I'll feel like this is, you know how it goes. One day you feel like you're drowning, the next you're on top of the world. But I'm thinking, gosh, how am I going to do this and have a baby?
You like, will. How is this? You'll be able to. Possible? You'll do it because you just figure it out. And I hate when people say that to me, but like, you figure it out. Like literally, billions of other moms have done it before you and are doing it currently. I know it seems overwhelming, but just take it day to day. And don't, like right now, you don't need to think about it because that's not reality right now. So just do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Yeah.
Per use. So. Yeah. Okay. So.
But what about you? Hold on. How are you?
Well, I wanted to talk about real quick. I started, so I used to buy Imperfect Foods a while ago, like right when they first started. And then this was during like a really busy time of my life. And I like would forget to pick Do you know what Imperfect Foods is?
Yeah. So I've been with them for, I'd love to hear your experience because I did them for like a month. And then the last like 3 weeks, I've been Xing everything out of my cart and not getting anything from them.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I was like when I first signed up with them. For you guys who don't know what Imperfect Foods is basically an online grocery store. You can go in and select the foods that you want, and there's nothing wrong with the foods. It's a lot of times what happens is like either like there's a misprint on the label and they can't sell it to grocery stores, or like the fruit or the vegetable is shaped kind of funny and they don't think it's going to sell, and but they don't want to throw it away, although it can be a great organic and high quality foods. So it's a good way to buy high quality foods while saving some money. So I had purchased some foods right when they first opened, and then I would forget to pick, and they would just send me food that I just, at the time I was doing, I think, I don't know, either keto or some stupid diet I'm sure I was on at the moment. So I got to a point where it's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to eat any of this food, and I would forget to go in and select foods because you have like a time slot of when you can go in, depending on your zip code, and select your foods. With that being said, I don't remember if they had this then, but they have it now. Like you can pick, like, I never want X, Y, and Z. So like, yes, I never want dairy. And, or if like, I always want, you know, some sort of fruit or vegetable in the season, I can pick that. So that's actually kind of cool because if you do forget, you're at least going to get foods that you know that you'll consume. Anyway, so I've actually been going in and picking and selecting what I want. So today after this, that's what I'll do. And I really love it. Like, I don't know if like, because I have a little bit more time, or I'm just not as stressed as before when like it wasn't but it's actually saved me time from going to the grocery store with Nolan. You know, I'll go every once in a while with him, but like it just makes it easier, and it shows up on Thursdays and I can go in and select the foods that I want for the week. So I'm not only saving time and transportation, but I'm saving money too. I've kind of been on that kick, which is,
You know. Have you done their chicken thighs? They're really good. They have like heirloom chicken thighs. They're on the bone. They're really good. Order those.
You'll
love them.
If they're on there today, I will grab them. But yeah, there's actually quite a few brands that I would buy from either Fresh Thyme or Whole Foods that I price checked, and they're cheaper for sure. Like Primal Kitchen's on there. This one brand of meat that I really like that I was getting from Whole Foods. The Sumptown coffee that I've been getting.
Yeah.
So I've been buying that from Fresh Thyme, and I was looking at what they cost, and it's like a dollar cheaper.
Yeah.
It is. And it's really good cold brew coffee. The thing is with that is that you have to be careful because the cold brew, I think this is across the board, is always just has more caffeine in it. So like I can only drink like so much.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so good, you want to drink the whole thing, but then you'll, it's like 300 milligrams, and it's like, oh my God, I don't need all this. So
yeah, I know.
But yeah. Anyway. So that's my kind of where I'm at right now with groceries and cooking. I've actually made quite a few new recipes over the last couple of weeks, which I've been cooking more. And I don't know if that's because I was spending too much time on social media, or if I've just, you know, how you go through like spurts of like wanting to cook, and then you kind of get burnt out because you feel like you're making the same things. I just kind of got an itch to like start cooking and trying new things again. So that's been kind of fun.
What kind of different things have you been making that you're really enjoying right now?
So yesterday I made oatmeal, blueberry, pecan, like breakfast muffins. Those are really good. It just has a little bit of maple syrup, and then obviously oatmeal, almond flour. And then I added some collagen to it. And then this morning I made like basically a big casserole dish of just chicken, lentils, bone broth, zucchini, and carrots, and then just put a ton of seasoning on it. So just like big,
really good.
Nothing out of the ordinary, just kind of a little bit different than my normal. So, but yeah, and then it cooks enough for both Jacob and I, and he can take it for lunch and everything. So yeah.
Perfect.
Yep. Okay. Since we're on the topic of food, Emily, do you want to fill our listeners in on what we're talking about today?
Guys, we're going to tell you exactly how to put on weight.
Or why you're putting on weight.
Yeah.
And by weight, today we're actually talking about fat, not like how to put on muscle, which is ideal or, you know, what
you want.
Yeah. Most of us are trying to lose fat.
I hear this too with a lot of people. You know, the weight that you put on, it's a slow progression most of the time. It could be 5 pounds 1 year, 5 pounds the next year. In 5 years, that's 25 pounds. That's going to look completely different on your body. But it's not like you wake up and then all of a sudden you have all this extra weight. It's a lot of unhealthy habits that have progressed time over time. Yes. Yeah.
The average person gains 1 to 2 pounds every year. Although that number seems really small, it's actually equal to 10 to 20 pounds per decade. So like Emily said, it's, 1 to 2 pounds over every year. It doesn't really seem like a whole lot, but mm-hmm. if you don't do anything about it, it really accumulates. And I've heard a lot lately, the COVID-15, everyone's, kind of got lazy during COVID, whether they, quit going to the gym, obviously, because gyms were shut down, mm-hmm. Or they quit walking, or, they just started getting carry out, whatever the reason may be. But I also read that the U.S. adult obesity rate stands at 42.4%, which is the first time the nation rate has passed the 40% mark and further evidence of the country's obesity crisis. So let me repeat that. The adult obesity rate stands at 42.4%, the first time the nation's rate has passed over the 40% mark. The national adult obesity rate has increased by 26% since 2008, which is not a very long time. That's Mm-mm. quite a significant increase. So that's just a little statistics for you about what's going on in our world right now. So there's different ways to measure your body fat. We've talked about this in the past. The InBody machine will do that. You can also do calipers, some biosignature calipers. People will do, which means they'll actually like pinch the fat in different parts of your area, and they'll put it into a computer and it'll add it up for you and tell you the whole percent of body fat in which you have. The difference between body fat and BMI, which is a very popular way that doctors like to measure our weight. Mm-hmm. So BMI is your body mass index, and your body fat is a different way to measure. So your body fat is actually how much body fat you have on your body, and your BMI is your body mass index, which I personally, as a trainer, do not like to really focus on, because with the BMI, it's your height to your weight ratio, and mm-hmm. it does not take into account how much muscle mass you have. So for example, it could say like a bodybuilder's obese, because it's not measuring the muscle mass. It's just assuming because of the person's weight that they're overweight. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. So like Kelly said, don't go off your, if you go to the doctor's office and they kind of scare you. Those things, it's not telling you how much muscle you have. It's not saying this is how much your lean muscle is. This is exactly what your fat, your muscles, all that stuff have to do. So don't freak out if you're doing the right things and you're active and you eat quality foods. I think that's what you really want to focus on.
Definitely. So for women, for body fat percentage, it'll change as with age. So just generally speaking, if ages between 20 to 39, the ideal, and I'm putting quotation marks up, is 21 to 32%. For 40-year-olds to 59, it's 23 to 33%. And for 60-year-olds to almost 80, it's 24 to 35%. Now, obviously, like, the fitness range would be considered anywhere between 21 to 24%. So, and then athletes would be considered 14 to 20%. So if you go get an in-body test, it's going to tell you that information.
Yes. And then just keep in mind, those tests aren't always 100% accurate. They're giving you a range, but there's a lot of things, just like the in-body test, that are going to affect that test to make it inaccurate. So it gives you a baseline, it gives you an idea, but it's not going to be 100%.
Yeah. Also, when I have my clients do the InBody machine, I make sure that they don't do it like a week before their period or while they're on their mm-hmm. period. I like to do it 2 weeks out. So that's something to take in consideration as well. And also not to do it after they work out. I like to do the measurement before they work out.
All right. Let's talk about what things you can do to put on fat.
Okay.
Or what things you are doing. Possibly.
So the quickest way to gain fat is pairing carbohydrates and fat together. Now, that doesn't mean like a sweet potato and some coconut oil, because that's obviously a carbohydrate and that's also a fat. I'm talking about like the process, you know, like a potato chip with canola oil or vegetable oil. I also think of like pizzas and donuts and, you know, ho-hos, all the things, like Oreos. Those are the, you know, there's a ton of sugar in there. There's bad fats in there, like canola oil, vegetable oil, palm oil, stuff like that. And then there's carbohydrates that aren't necessarily the good carbohydrates that are gonna help you lose fat.
Mm-hmm. So your body is getting energy. Your protein is always going to stay about the same. It's moderate, but when you're eating food and it's a lot of ingredients your body can't use and absorb, when you're taking in energy, we want it to be mainly taking in through carbohydrates or through fat. Ideally, we want a balance in between there, and your body can do well with either source of energy. But like Kelly was talking about, if you eat a Hostess cupcake and it has 20 grams of fat, and then it also has 50 carbohydrates, and actually it probably has more grams of fat than that, that's a lot. And it creates just a total catastrophe in the body.
So you're probably asking, like, why is this? So like macronutrients have a role in this. So when we say carbs, fat, and protein, that's what we're talking about, macronutrients. There's actually seven. The additional four are fats, vitamins, minerals, fiber, and water. But when Emily and I are talking about how to gain fat, we're mainly talking about the three: protein, fat, and carbohydrates. And carbohydrates provide 4 calories per gram. Protein provides 4 calories per gram, and fat provides 9 calories per gram. So that's why when you eat a lot of fat along with carbohydrates, it adds up in calories. Did I make that clear? I think so. Okay.
Yeah.
So just to reiterate, fat has the most calories per gram than the other two macronutrients that we consume on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Which that doesn't mean we don't want fat. It just, we're talking about energy sources here when things have a shit ton of carbohydrates and a shit ton of fat. It's too much.
So other than what we eat, Emily, what are some other ways that we put on fat?
So some other ways we can put on fat are taking in high calorie drinks, also inactivity, the overuse of medication, the overuse of alcohol, and dieting.
Yes, for sure. Being sedentary too, you know, I think you said that,
inactivity. But
I think that's a really big issue right now, because, you know, a lot of jobs require us to sit all day, and then we go home and we sit in front of the TV or in front of our phone, and we aren't getting in our, you know, 10,000 steps. I've gotten to a point where when people ask me, if they come to me and they're like, you know what, I don't really have any physical activity, I don't have any exercises that I like to do, but they're like, I absolutely hate working out, I would say to them, maybe let's not even start with strength training. Let's find an activity that you enjoy doing. You know, you're not going to stick to something that you absolutely hate. Let's maybe work our way up to that point. So, you know, what activity do you like to do? Is that walking outside in nature? Is that playing tennis with friends? Is that going for a swim with your kids? Just any sort of movement. So I think a lot of people, when they're first starting off with a diet or an exercise program, they think that the instant answer is like doing a class or strength training, which obviously, you know, Emily and I absolutely love strength training, are a little biased about that, and obviously has so many benefits, but also just moving and getting started has a lot of benefits too.
I think a lot of times we make it this whole situation, and this is why people don't like working out, because they feel like they have to dedicate an hour, 5-6 days a week. But we're looking at the minimum dose, the minimum dose that is effective for your body to elicit change and to feel good. Obviously, I think and I know Kelly and I talk about this all the time, having a strength training program is going to protect you long term. But if it's an option of doing strength training or nothing, then if it's just walking, like she said, or swimming, or doing just basic things, something is better than nothing. You have to pick what you're going to consistently do and think a minimum dose. It doesn't have to be that you spend hours inside the gym or hours outside walking or hiking. 30 minutes is better than no minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I've had to practice what I preach a lot lately because I've been busy with work and with Nolan, and there are just some days where I can't get to the gym. And now because Nolan is very mobile and capable of getting into everything, it makes my workouts at home a little bit more challenging. I will, a lot of times on the days that I am working from home or like I'm supposed to work out at home, I might be able to get in like a 20, maybe 30 minute workout. So if that's like some squats, push-ups, I do have some dumbbells and a bench. So I can get in a decent workout, but sometimes it's honestly, it just isn't going to happen. So I will opt to just go for a really long walk. So on Saturday, actually Jacob and I, Nolan and Zoe all went for like a 45 minute walk. And then Jessica Cameron, who we've had on this podcast, who's a fellow personal trainer with me, texted me later and was like, hey, do you want to go for another walk? So I just went for two really long walks. Now, obviously, sometimes time has a lot to do with that. But the whole point of this is that not every day is going to look perfect. Your routine will sometimes get interrupted. So just do what you can that day.
And it doesn't have to be you commit to 30 minutes in a row. Even with my schedule right now, during COVID, we bought a bunch of stuff to make a garage gym. So we have stuff at home. And in between breaks, I'll go down there and do some lifting, and it might be just 10 minutes. And then I'll come back up, and a few hours later, I'll get another break, and I'll go down there and I'll lift for another 10 minutes, or I'll ride the assault bike and just do like 4 or 5 minutes of sprints. But some days it's like, yeah, together I've worked out for 30 to 40 minutes, but it was 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. It wasn't, I couldn't dedicate a whole hour.
I love that sitting. I think that's such a good point because I think some people have the mindset, well, if I couldn't get in the whole workout today, then like the rest of the day, it just like doesn't matter. So breaking it up into like 10, 15 minute sessions throughout the day or just whenever you have a little bit of time is ideal. You can always finish your workout later. So I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. I really want to talk about our hormones. Two that I have in mind, particularly are ghrelin and leptin. So our bodies have an appetite and a weight regulating hormonal regulation or mechanism that tries to maintain homeostasis, like meaning that we try to keep things the same. So like my body is always happy at X amount of pounds. Okay. So that's where my body kind of wants to stay right now. So to keep it simple, ghrelin is the hormone that makes us hungry, and leptin is what tells us when we're satisfied. Now, I think what the issue is when we become fat or when we have extra weight is we become leptin resistant. This is only one instance of why we're gaining weight. It could be from diabetes, and we could be insulin resistant. But in this case, for today's topic, we're going to talk about leptin resistance. So let me explain what that looks like. So basically, when you eat more, you gain body fat. The more body fat means more leptin in the fat cells. Too much fat means that proper leptin signaling is disrupted. The brain thinks that you're starving, which makes you want to eat more. Then you get fatter and we get hungrier and we eat more, we gain more fat, and so on. So there is a hormonal aspect to why we are gaining more weight. And it's not just because we don't have the willpower to just say no. I think that's really important for people to hear that they're like, man, why can't I just say no? Or why can't I just turn away from this? Or why can't I just, you know, be disciplined? Sometimes it's just it's a hormonal imbalance. And sometimes it's a blood sugar imbalance. So I think it's really important for us to go see the doctor and get your blood work ran and see, you know, if there's, first of all, any blood glucose levels that are imbalanced, and also maybe going to see a hormonal doctor to see what your hormones look like. There are ways to address these things.
Blood sugar regulation is key in either storing body fat or getting rid of excess body fat. So that's when we just really go back to getting that balance of protein, carbs, and fat throughout the day as well. And then also knowing that if your leptin and ghrelin have an imbalance, you've got that hormone imbalance, or maybe your gut microbiome, there's an imbalance. It's going to create a whole host of issues inside the body.
Yes, for sure. The gut issue can definitely be the culprit for why your hormones can be imbalanced. But if you do find out that your ghrelin and leptin levels are imbalanced, two really simple things to do that will help to regulate those is taking a good quality fish oil, like supplementing with that several times throughout the day. So making sure that you're taking it with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then also, like Emily and I have talked about so many times in the past, getting really good quality sleep. So making that a priority. So those are the two top ones that I would really highly recommend, but also physical activity, which seems pretty obvious. Getting social support. If you are experiencing these things and you have a partner, tell them what's going on with you hormonally and see if they can help you so that they will perhaps, like, you know, not keep X, Y, and Z foods that you know that you just, like, can't stay away from. So basically creating a supportive atmosphere. And then also maybe talking to a behavioral coach about some techniques about goal setting, or a health coach like Emily and I about how to address these things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So just a situation that happened with me recently. So Jacob went and got his blood work done, and there were some things that we needed to address. And he just, over the weekend, we agreed together that we were going to make some changes at home. And he's actually starting to kick box twice a week instead of one. And he's gone running a couple times again. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I would love for him to do strength training, but I'm not going to force him to do something that he's not into. And he used to love to run. So he started running again. And I was like, that's wonderful. It's better than doing nothing. So mm-hmm. Another thing, he texted me today saying, hey, you know, if you decide to buy chocolate, because I do love chocolate and I usually have a little bit here or there, he's like, can you hide it from me? Basically, he's like, I just need, you know, he's like, I know that you enjoy it, but right now I need to keep it out of sight, out of mind. And I'm so on board, and I'm actually going to text him back and say, you know, I'm just going to quit buying it because it's not something I absolutely have to have. And right now I'm willing to sacrifice to help our family be better.
Yes. And when you're setting your goals, people are tend to set them way too high, and then they're not achievable. So the goal itself, it's not the lack of motivation. It is that you are setting goals that are way too hard. It should be a micro goal, something that is just so ridiculously manageable that it removes the resistance from getting started. If you create a goal that is too high, you're going to have resistance and you're most likely not going to do it, or you're not going to stick with it, one or the other. So once you've started and you feel the urge to keep going and exceed that micro goal, then it turns more into a habit.
Yes. We just want to reiterate that, like, if you do have some body fat to lose, you know, it's important to remember that, again, it's not just about you not being able to say no to certain foods. You know, we want to find out whether or not it's like a hormonal thing. And if it is, you know, we want to address it. I think it's really important to just remember, like, try not to be so hard on yourself about it. Like, guilt isn't going to change you into being skinny. Setting realistic goals and looking at the facts of how you got there and addressing those and having a clear plan will help you get to a healthy range.
Absolutely. Give yourself some grace. And if you are being really hard on yourself, just try to change your perspective and you can re-engineer it. Think back. Think about what things that changed in your life over the last 6 months or years that you're not doing anymore, or that you started doing, that would create the goal. So just reverse engineer. Really have that talk with yourself and really think through. Because anytime I put on weight, I knew exactly what I was doing to put on weight. And I always put on weight the same exact way. I always knew what habits I was doing that was making me put on weight. So you may just have to dive deep. And if you don't have an answer, that's when it's time to work a professional with a health coach to sit down and really figure out why you either put on weight, where you got to where you are, how can you get back on track in a better habit. But it's something that only you have the power to do and to make that realization to figure out what was the cause, and then how can we reverse that and get back to a place where you're feeling good?
This is going to be controversial. So when it comes to obesity, even if you are comfortable with where you're at, so say you're 50 pounds overweight and you're okay with that, like you don't mind how you look, my suggestion would be, again, I always encourage blood work so we're not guessing. Mm-hmm. But the issue with being obese is that it causes health conditions that are avoidable, such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, liver disease, gallbladder disease, certain cancers, pregnancy complications, depressions, and many other things. So it's one thing, which I applaud you, if you're comfortable in your own skin. I feel like every woman and male should be. But there's also a point where if you're 50 plus over pounds, you have to think about what's happening internally and what is it doing for your health?
Yeah. How do you feel? And sometimes you got to dig a little deeper. And sometimes, like, just to use an example, my mom works out 5-6 days a week. She's very active. She's health conscious. And that's something I really respect about her. And my dad, once they moved, he literally went from working out all the time to not working out. And I was just talking to him about it yesterday. And I was like, Dad, what can we do to get you back to working out? And I was like, this isn't just about you. Like, this is about me. This is about, we're about to have a family.
How is it affecting the people around you?
I want you to be able to chase after the baby. I want you to live as long as you possibly can, not just in a quality of life, not just to be living. But I was like, please, can we figure out something to get you back to working out? Because mom can chase anyone around. And I really, her energy level is great. And she's got it. And she's up and at 'em. But it's not always, it's about the people around you too that want to.
Are you a liability or are you going to be able to help out with your grandkids? And this doesn't just have to do with obesity. I mean, this could be any health condition. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you have to think about other people around you, you know, but unfortunately, obesity is kind of one, it's one of the biggest things that causes a lot of different complications, health complications. I mean, it puts strain on your bones and on your organs. I mean, it can change your hormonal, or it can cause hormonal imbalances and decrease your metabolism and increases inflammation. So it's just something you have to ask yourself, you know, even if you're comfortable with how you are, is this long-term, if you continue gaining weight like you have in the last, you know, 10 years or however long it's taking you to get 50 plus pounds overweight, is this, if I continue to go in this pattern, what is my health going to look like, you know, 10 years from now?
And it's about feeling good. Kelly and I aren't talking about aesthetics. We're talking about your actual health. And sometimes we get to feeling so bad that we are used to feeling bad. And so we don't know what it's like to feel good. And it's like, if you just gave yourself that time to see what it's like to feel good, you wouldn't want to walk around with a 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 pound backpack. Because if I did that right now and I put on 80 pounds on my back and walked around, something's going to hurt. My energy level is going to go down. It's impossible. I mean, yes, your body does get used to holding on weight and it starts managing and moving around, but it's uncomfortable. There's just no way around that fact. It's uncomfortable.
One of my clients whom I absolutely love and adore, she lost 150 pounds of fat. And, you know, obviously she is grateful for what it has done for her health and her internally and her organs and just her health markers and everything else. But one thing that she always talks to me about is that she's like, I have my confidence back. She's like, I was overweight for so long. I would get nervous walking into rooms. And she was a doctor. So she, you know, she would kind of feel embarrassed and not think that, you know, people would listen to her because she was 150 pounds overweight and she was giving health advice. And she's like, not only has it given me confidence in my business, but it's given me confidence, she's single, to go out and date and to wear the things that I always wanted to wear, and with heels and just to carry, you know, that, you know, energy with her. So that stuff always gives me goosebumps, just hearing how it's not only changing someone's health, but it's also changing their personality and giving him this like new outlook in life.
Mm-hmm. Weight is exhausting. Thinking about food, thinking about dieting, thinking about these things all the time, it's mentally exhausting.
So, Emily and I, you know, we are here because we encourage all of everybody that around us, our friends, our family, our clients, our listeners, to look at your health and examine your health and find where we can improve. I know I do that on a daily basis, and I'm not just talking about aesthetics or, you know, I still check my blood sugar at least a few times a week just to make sure that I'm doing well. You know, I'm checking in internally to see how I'm doing. So, I journal. So, you know, the whole point of this is that we want you to not only feel good physically and have the energy, but we want you to feel good emotionally as well.
Amen. This is a judge-free zone. We've been there. We've had unhealthy habits. We still are always a work in progress. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And we just want to give you the information so that you can start feeling good. And not only that, but leading an example, being an example for others around you. People are always watching. They're always paying attention. I mean, kids are like sponges. And this is a time where if we can, us as a generation, if we can change the obesity rate, it's going to reflect on future generations.
Absolutely.
All right, gang, we have one fee for this podcast. And that is please, 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 if you find it valuable, share it with a family member or friend, or you think it would impact someone and someone needs to hear it. We appreciate it. Please also leave a review. We listen to them, we read them, and it means so much.
Thanks for listening. For show notes, visit our website at www.easy-wellness.com. and click on Wellness Unfiltered. If you have any questions, feel free to email us at wellness.unfiltered@gmail.com. And don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Wellness Unfiltered, where we tell it as it is.